Hey there, welcome to the Guitar Goddess Show. I'm Ezina LeBlanc, your host. And this month on Guitar Goddess, we are featuring the top female guitarists in the world. And today you are in for a special treat because we have in our studio, Miss Janet Robin. Janet Robin was the teenage protege of Randy Rhoads. She went on from there to become the lead guitarist for the band Precious Metal. And from there, she shared the stage with the likes of Heart and Meredith Brooks and Melissa Etheridge and Lindsey Buckingham and Bonnie Raitt. The list goes on and on. Miss Janet Robin. Well, I want to talk about you a little bit that, Janet, we don't really hear about much. We know all about your amazing accolades and you know, your fantastic guitar playing. But I want to know, like, what was it like for you growing up, you know? Because you started out really, really young playing guitar.
I did, yes.
And what drew you to guitar to begin with?
Well, I actually, we're in Burbank here, and I actually grew up just down the street in North Hollywood. So I'm a Valley girl. And you know, I have two older brothers, and my one brother was really into music. We'd always be listening to the Beatles, Zeppelin, you know, Deep Purple, all the bands. And he got into guitar. He wanted to play guitar. And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And I'm kind of, you know, a tomboy, and I just wanted to do everything my brothers did. And so he picked up the acoustic guitar, and we found a really cool teacher, not Randy, this was a different teacher down on Ventura Boulevard at a place called Valley Arts Guitar, which at the time in the 70s was actually, you know, it was like one of the places to go to besides Guitar Center at that time. It doesn't exist anymore, but yeah, and so we both started taking guitar there, and I was six, and he's 4 years older, so he was 10.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it just, you know, escalated from there. We did acoustic guitar for a while, classical acoustic. And then he wanted to get an electric guitar. You know, he wanted to be Jimmy Page. I don't blame him. I wanted to be Jimmy Page too. But somebody referred us to Randy. They didn't say it like that. They said there's a really great electric guitar teacher that focuses on electric, you know, lead playing and stuff like that. And he's teaching at a different place, also in the Valley. And it was called Musonia. It's still there. And it happened to be right literally around the corner from my parents' house.
Okay.
So very convenient. And so my brother moved over there, and he started first on acoustic with someone else, but not for very long. Then he moved right away to Randy. And I was still with, her name was Arlene, I was still with her on acoustic for a little while at Musonia until I was begging and begging and begging to get an electric guitar. And I was about 9 when I started with Randy. And as far as I know, I was the only female student and also the youngest at the time when I started studying with him. We knew he was special, but he was not as famous as he got to, and of course not as famous as he got to be after he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of a famous local guitarist. He was in Quiet Riot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a local LA band at the time, and they were pretty big. But I remember it well because I wanted to go see him. It was kind of a thing for me, you know, and I was really young, and my parents took me and my brother, and they talked to the door person, and they let us in, you know, because we were chaperoned. Because normally, you know,
yeah, you can't get
in. And they did, they let us in. And it was like, whoa, that was the first time being in a rock and roll club,
yeah.
You know, with guys with long hair,
yeah.
And crazy clothes and things going on in the bathroom. And, you know, and I was like, I think when I went to my first show, I was like 10 or 11.
Wow.
And I was, you know, in the front row just watching Quiet Riot and, of course, focusing on Randy. And really, it was just like nothing you've ever seen before. He was honestly incredible, just a special guitar player, you know. And I saw it in the lessons, mm-hmm. but you know, it was much more casual in the lessons. On stage, you just, you know, it was like, whoa, it was amazing. And my parents loved it too, and you know. My brother stopped midway in high school, and I was still in junior high, and then I think I got into 10th grade, and that's when he got the gig with Ozzy, and he stopped teaching. Okay. You know, I think if there was a way that he could have kept it going, mm-hmm. he would have done that and yeah. the Ozzy gig, because the last time I saw him was in between two Ozzy tours. He had a break, and he came back home, and he went back to teach his students. And that was really exciting, because I was like, what's it like being on the road with the big rock star, you know? And part of that, he was playing his white Les Paul, and I had a black Les Paul. So I got Les Paul because he had Les Paul. I wanted a black one. I had to be a little different.
Yeah, a little different.
I wanted a black one, you know? Black's my favorite color, so. Well, so yeah, so that was, you know.
I see a lot of similarities in that story. You know, you're a very different person. I remember taking a lesson with you
yeah.
and being totally terrified and excited all at the same time.
And he'd be like, no, it goes like this. You know?
Yeah.
But no, he
did that to me, you yeah. know.
Well, he was gently tough. But the lessons were very simple, a lot of progressions. Mm-hmm. He would show me, so I learned bar chords and I learned rhythms and right hand rhythms while he would be totally wailing on lead stuff, and I was thinking, I want to do that someday.
Yes.
And he was telling me, you're going to, you know, but first you have to do these progressions, and a lot of the stuff was blues. And he would say, you know, if you don't learn the basic blues technique, you know, I can't take you on into these other areas. So he really stressed that, and he was just so great and so inspiring. I think, you know, I wanted to be as good or come as close to it as possible. And, you know, there was never any discussion about me being a girl mm-hmm. or being young or my hands, you know, mm-hmm. they're quite small.
Yeah.
No discussion about any of that.
That's wonderful.
It was all just like, you're gonna play and practice or not, you know. And lessons were 30 minutes, so there wasn't a lot of time, you know. So, yeah, you know, it was devastating when I found out it. I was in school, and my mom actually called the school and left a message at the front desk for me, and it was awful, you know. I think I was 15 when that happened, yeah. So, couldn't believe it. I think he was like 24 or something. 25, yes.
Wow, that's incredible.
But yeah, I didn't think any of this was gonna happen, and you know, I just wish he was still here. That's the one thing that I'm sorry he's not here.
He's
you know,
in spirit.
Yeah,
in spirit.
I mean, I think he would be really proud.
He would be
really, really proud.
I mean, in the fact that you, I feel like you are really continuing everything that he shared with you. I just feel like there's some of that spirit, you know, still here. And when I see you perform and you're up there ripping on the guitar, you know, and yet you sit here so calmly and so elegantly, you know, having this chat, you know, that's part of what you carry on through that legacy.
Well, yeah, I've tried to carry on his legacy. You know, I don't play, you know, as great as Randy in that sense. I have my own style,
yes.
and he always said that to us too. He's like, I don't want you to play exactly like me, you know, learn what you can from me and then make your own style. And I got influenced by lots of other people before him and after him and was listening to all kinds of records, and you know, I just incorporated like some technique he showed me and some fast runs and things like that. I could never play like him. But again, he would never want me to play exactly like him.
Exactly.
So I just, you know, teach my students whatever I can and you know, hope that it sticks and that they pass it on as well.
I think that is definitely happening. I know for a fact that's definitely happening.
Okay,
I mean,
great.
I mean, I'm an ex-student. How do you find it? You know, worked with so many people. You've worked with Air Supply, and you know, you played with Meredith Brooks, and you opened for Heart, and you know,
I actually wrote some songs.
You wrote some
when
songs
I was
with
Precious
Heart.
Metal.
How do, like, for people watching, they want to know, how do they get in? How do you jump in? You know, how do you get
no
in the business?
Idea. I have no idea. Stay away if you can. You know, I started very young. I got into precious metal when I was in high school. I was 17. I answered an ad, you know, and we got good real fast. We got a deal. I think when we got signed, that opened up a lot of doors. Later down the road, I got that gig with Lindsey Buckingham. She came to the show for that. She was very, very supportive and happy for me during that time period. And then when I started my own solo thing, I was looking for more visibility, and you know, I thought I would call upon some people I knew to see if I could, you know, open up for them. And they were gracious enough to let me open for them once. That was a great night. I remember it well.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, teenage years, because as a teenager we have that area of angst. And yeah. I feel like...
I still have it. I'm into my 40s.
You know, and sometimes girls don't have an outlet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had some rebelliousness going on during my high school years, but I think for the most part it was, you know, taken care of by rocking out on the guitar.
Yeah.
Especially when I was a senior and I'd gotten in precious metal.
Okay.
So by then, you know, I was really kind of in a professional band at that point. There was a producer in place. The girls in that band were much older than me, so I had to kind of mature quite fast. Our first gig with Precious Metal was at my high school when I was a senior, on the quad lunchtime show. We actually did two of them that year.
That's cool. Now, were you one of the cool kids, or was this kind of like your opportunity to be like, you know, all you people who...
I don't know, you know, I think I was pretty accepted for the most part. I was pretty rambunctious and funny and kind of a class clown. You know, a student body president of the school.
Wow.
Tried to just be crazy and, you know, everybody love each other, you know, kind of thing. And they're like, she's crazy. And I played guitar and, you know, I don't know, it got along with, I wasn't in one clique.
Okay.
I like hopped from, you know, different groups of people. Mm-hmm. And so it was okay. High school was okay for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was because of music.
The life of a musician, you know, a lot of kids and people don't really realize, you know, they see all the lights and glamour. But you spend a lot of time...
What lights and glamour? There's a few lights here.
Right. But from afar, you know, it seems very glamorous and everything. But, you know, when it comes to having, you know, a personal life, a family life, having that stability, how have you managed, you know...
It's been very difficult.
Yeah.
I had one long relationship for a while when I was younger, in my 20s through early 30s. But I wasn't doing near as much as I'm doing now on my own. I was back then as a hired musician. And I think when you do solo stuff and you decide you really just want to make your living as a musician, you end up doing a lot of different things. You know, maybe you're teaching, you're touring, maybe you still are playing in people's bands, or you're doing session work or something like that. And I think, you know, it really is a 24/7 job. It's not like 9-to-5. And I think a lot of people don't totally understand that. And it's not only that it can be 24/7, but it's, you want to do it.
Yes.
You know, you're
it's your first love.
Yeah, and it's exciting for you. Even though I get stressed out and sometimes not so much sleep and there's problems and I have to reroute tours and book hotels and whatever it is, it's like, it becomes a part of your lifestyle. It's not only a job. And I think that's hard on somebody who isn't in the business. And then again, if you are with somebody who also is in the business, I've had that too. That can be difficult too. There can be competition. There can be a lot of things. So it hasn't been easy. You know, I'm in a good one right now.
Good.
It's long distance though, so maybe that's why. But no, we hope to live together soon.
As an artist, you really are You Inc. You know, you really are a small business. And you're responsible for, you know, getting financing for that business, you know, for putting together the tours.
If you want to make a living.
If you want to make a living, exactly. If you want to have a day job, you know, you can do that too.
Sure.
But if you want to be a full-time musician and you look at yourself as You Inc., you know, you have to run it like a business. And something that you've been really successful doing is fundraising. You know, and I want to talk a little bit about that because artists are, you know, some artists that I'm talking to are still in the vein of, you know, waiting for someone to come in and, you know,
wave the magic wand.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's all about that magic wand, but it doesn't exist anymore. You really have to get out there. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been able to do with fundraising?
I got inspired by some other people I saw, like Jill Sobule and some other musicians that I saw were raising funds from their fans. And this is before Kickstarter and Pledge Music and all that. And I just thought, well, I have a lot of fans and they're so loyal, and I have also a lot overseas at that time when I was looking at doing my next record. Because up until then, I had funded my own records, you know, scraped some money together, asked favors from people. A lot of people did it for free, for nothing, you know, and I had this opportunity with John Carter Cash, and I was like, you know, it was a lot of money. I needed, you know, 16 grand, and I was like, yeah, well, I could sell everything I own and live in a tent somewhere, and maybe that would work. I mean, it was coming down to, like, what could I sell, what could I do? Yeah, you know, I didn't want to sell my guitars.
Right.
You know, my parents don't have that kind of money to give me, you know. And anyway.
You need your car.
I need my car, yeah. And getting involved with family can be complicated, you know, and friends too. So I thought, I'm going to do what these other people did. And I'm just, you know, I think I'm a pretty good writer and with my emails. I'm pretty...
Pretty
straightforward. You know, I'm, you know, people can trust me. They know that I work really, really hard. I'm not going to take the money and go buy a bunch of shoes.
Yeah.
You know? So I was really straightforward in my first email, and I, you know, I knew I had to offer some things for different levels of donations, and I wasn't as specific as I am now because I'm doing another donation campaign for the press and promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's a similar thing, you know. I'm trying to raise 10 grand for a radio and a press team to promote the USA release, because I raised the money to do the recording and then got picked up by the label in Germany, and they handled a lot of press and promotion out there for me, and then of course I was touring out there and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's coming out here, and it's going to go on iTunes and get on all the digital sites. I really would like to get some visibility in NPR stations, the non-com stations, some college stations. But I haven't been out here, so
well, hopefully we can change that.
I would love that. But anyway, yeah. So I'm trying to raise money to get that going, and it'll probably be for January, you know.
Launch.
Yeah, launch January.
So everyone, please go to janetrobin.com and check out her latest CD
and
her tour dates.
The donation campaign
campaign is definitely going on.
Tour dates in Europe, and then I will be back in the States next year as well.
Janet Robin. And we'll see you on guitargoddess.com, Twitter, Guitar Goddess Mag. All right, Janet.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo!
That was hot.
I hope so.
Awesome.
Okay.
Love it. That was great. Thank you.
All right.
So much.
You got it.